The following broadcast of Talk Shop was recorded for broadcast at this time. Good morning. Today is Friday, September the 29th. Joining us this morning is Humboldt Provost. It still seems like we're missing words there. Jen Capp. Good morning.
Good morning. My long title is Provost and Vice President of Academic Affairs, but that'll take another year for you to kind of get on board with.
It just takes 10 minutes for me to say, too.
Right?
All right. Are you ready for your question?
You bet.
Are you Colorado State or Colorado?
Colorado.
Oh, well, then you're in Buffalo heaven. Then.
Oh, heck yeah. There's lots of fun stuff happening.
Yeah. All right. Why do we call an enthusiastic amateur a buff?
I have no earthly idea, but perhaps it's related to a buffalo.
Because they have horns?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah,
come on, you have a chance to bring something in.
Right? Oh, man. I have no clue.
A buff is someone with a keen interest in a subject that is not related to his or her profession. The term was coined by New York firemen, who were often hindered by crowds who gathered at fires either to help or to stand around and criticize. At the time, around 1900, most winter coats worn by the spectators were made of buffalo hide.
Oh.
And from those, the firemen came up with the derogatory term buffs in order to describe those pesky amateur critics.
Fascinating. But now it's been turned to
almost positive.
Yeah, I don't think it's a negative thing to be a buff about something.
No.
Yeah.
I think wearing jackets made of buffalo hide would be a negative.
I can pass on that
how
one.
How heavy that is, must be.
Yeah, I'll pass on that one. Fascinating.
Particularly if they don't take the horns out.
Right. Oh, yeah. That could go the wrong way quick.
Yeah, exactly.
It really could.
Exactly.
Huh.
So we're kind of into the settled period now of the fall semester.
We are.
Lots of discussions on the street, as I'm sure you're aware, about the enrollment figures.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of impression from the inside looking out? Is 100 net grow plus, minus?
You know, our census date was actually yesterday, so that's the day where...
The real number?
Yeah, the real number, because you assume then the first couple of weeks of classes that students will add and drop and things will sort of settle out. So we're up 3%, which is the second consecutive year that we've been up. So that's good. So it's a couple hundred students, and it really crosses first-year students, graduate students, and then students that are seeking credentials, like teaching credentials, that sort of thing. Obviously, we had a higher number of applicants, but we didn't see as high a number of students actually enroll.
It was the conversion... Sorry.
No, you're right.
Conversion ratio... less than what was expected, or was Humboldt like number two or number three and they got into number one or number two?
It's a good question. You sound like an academic. You're talking about conversion things and enrollment management. Man, been talking long enough. You're on it.
No, I'm sorry, girl. That's marketing.
Oh, fair. Well, okay, same thing. No, it's a good question. It's all of those things. I think that this is our first year as a polytechnic officially with new programs, and people were checking us out. I think in some cases we may have been somebody's backup plan. In some cases, concerns about housing may have been an issue.
That was kind of the one that roared around, wasn't it?
Yeah, it did. It did roar around. I think the other thing is that is a real issue too. Is that other campuses and other universities in the state of California were experiencing a decline in interest. And we're concerned about enrollment also. So the University of California system, as well as some of the other CSU campuses, we're seeing less applicants. And so ordinarily, at the UCs in particular, it's harder to get in. So it was easier to get in this year. And they
sucked up a larger percentage.
They sure did. And they cleared their wait list. So students that ordinarily wouldn't have gotten in there did. And then they needed to make a decision. And we likely lost out to some of those because Polytech is a little bit, dare I say, draws the same kinds of students sometimes as the UCs at this point.
I wouldn't think the kid thinking about Chico State is looking at Humboldt now.
Yeah, it's a little bit
different. In the past, it might have been interchangeable, but not now.
Yeah, and so I think we're going to see a high number of applicants again this year, and I think some of the additional strategies that we're going to employ with respect to where we're going out to recruit, being far more strategic with our recruiting strategies and targeting some of the places where people are very much on the fence, I think we'll see.
You mean your marketing?
Yeah, it could be that, right?
No,
Yeah. Exactly. I think we will see continued growth and stronger growth this year. So it's a blessing and a curse, right? We wanted growth and probably wanted a little bit more growth, but having a little bit more modest growth as we build our housing is probably better for the community.
and I would think a little humility in the equation, too, probably isn't too bad.
You know,
so now you can look back and go, okay, guys, we thought we were hot stuff, but apparently we were kind of the only ones that did.
Right, yeah.
So let's change things. How much flexibility, or any at all, do you have with tuition or the cost of the educational experience at Humboldt?
That's a timely question, actually. So the Board of Trustees for the California State University System sets tuition.
Yeah, so, they just jacked it up, didn't they?
So last week, it was determined that we were going to raise tuition as a system for the first time in like 11 years or something. Prior to that, the system hadn't raised tuition much in many years. And I was compelled by one of the trustees who said, nobody likes to raise tuition on students. Let's be clear. I mean, it's hard for students, but we've essentially held stable with respect to how much tuition costs. And cost escalation, things cost more, right?
For sure.
And it's not, and state support isn't increasing, you know, over time. And so.
Oh, is K-14 is a different critter than where you guys are.
Yeah,
as far as funding and
right.
sensitivities, I think, at the
yeah.
State Senate and Assembly. But it hasn't been close.
Not to the level that is needed. Yeah. So.
Well, not to that, but to the other guys. So if the public school system had a, let's say, a 20, just as a number, the four-year schools were like at a 10 or an 8.
Oh, that's hard to compare. I don't know that I could speak
intelligently
about how much.
It's still just monies, and everybody's dealing with a lot of those very similar challenges financially.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, what I'd say, nationally, it's very clear to know that higher education has received less state support over time in the last many, many years. And so the idea is that campuses need to figure out how to address that. So is that through donors? Is that through partnerships? Is that by raising tuition, all those types of things.
Or fees.
With
the fees, is each campus individual in that respect?
Yeah. So fees, we are able to determine our fees. Yeah.
How are those predicated?
That's we're in the midst of doing a lot of fee review. It's hard to say. Overall, I feel like we're middle of the road to maybe a little bit high, but then when you kind of dig down deep into like all of the different various fees, health fee, bus fee, rec fee, I mean, there's all sorts of things.
Don't forget the nickel and dime fee.
I know, right?
It's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about chicken of the sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Jen Capps from Humboldt. Jen, as you look at some of the housing challenges, there's on-campus, there's off-campus, there's who gets what. You know, there was the kerfuffle this summer about this and that and whatever. I would think that you would want to have as much housing on campus as possible. Presuming that it's not a deficit spending challenge, because that's where the experience of college is.
You
know, and again, this is, you know, the ignorant speaking.
Okay.
No question. Freshmen and sophomore live on campus, junior and senior and graduates off. And at least not necessarily mandate it, but have the capacity to handle that. So then the housing costs are a little bit more restricted.
Mm-hmm.
Because you guys can control half of the time that they're, well, if you're on a four-year program.
Right.
Half of the time that they're there, you can, I guess, in effect, subsidize the housing cost. Because my understanding is housing is not going to be getting cheaper in Humboldt County. We are going to be the place where people are going to, not only for education, but we're not flammable.
Right.
And we're not dealing with a lot of the things that the other areas in the state are dealing with, the cultural stuff also, and that housing costs here are going to escalate significantly. Well, okay, now if you're forcing the kids off campus, well, those costs are going to rise along with everything else. So it kind of seemed to be at odds if you were trying to allow it to privatize, and I can't believe that I'm saying this. does that factor into some of the decisions that you make about the cost of an education at Humboldt?
Yeah, good questions. I mean, right now I'll say there isn't a housing crisis for our students. If students wanted to live on campus, they could. There ended up being a lot of room. So all of the kerfuffle of, oh my gosh, you know, we sort of early communication to say we have all of these applicants. We're going to prioritize first-year students, kind of what you're saying. We're going to prioritize first-year students on campus and then open up beds for upper-class students later on, is what we said the whole time. But people panicked and decided that, oh, my God, you know, because during the pandemic time, obviously, there were a lot less people living on campus. People were in single, like, people were taking online classes. So people got used to being able to get what they wanted, regardless, where it used to be this way before. But when all the dust settled, if you wanted to be on campus, you're on campus, despite whatever year that you are. I think what also did happen is people panicked and then sought more proactively to find housing in the community earlier. And so we're able to ascertain that quicker. Your part about, shouldn't we have maybe first and second year students on campus and then third and fourth and grad students
to try to help manage
campus.
The housing cost. Yeah.
That is kind of our approach. I mean, what I will say is that we also include housing like the Craftsman, the old Craftsman Mall, that 800-bed housing project that's under construction right now. I mean, that's walking distance from campus, so we can't build everything on campus because, I guess we could, but we're building other academic buildings and programs. Eventually, we're going to run out of space. And I'd say the Craftsman housing project is campus adjacent. And so I also think there's value to having not only academic programs, housing that's intentional in the community, because then it draws those connections to the community in intentional ways that I think are helpful. If students are doing internships or they're doing research or those kinds of things, I think it's good.
Yeah, there are certainly pluses and minuses going both ways. And it's, I think one of the challenges would be the planning for the future. Okay, so this structure is going to last however many decades it's going to. What does Humboldt look like in 2050?
Yeah.
2070?
Yeah.
Is it like SLO? Okay.
Not that big.
or not. Mm-hmm. I mean, whether it's intentional or unintentional, what does this thing look like? Let's not worry about the accuracy of the projection.
Sure.
But just what does it look like? And is that something that's manageable? Is it, obviously, you can plan towards it, but is it what is possible today?
And
then try to figure all this stuff out.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of intentional collaboration with the city of Eureka
The C word?
Which one, collaboration?
Yeah. Partnering is nice.
Okay. Well, whatever word
Meeting
floats your boat.
Meeting is nice.
Whatever word floats your boat.
The $25 word instead of the one everybody understands.
Okay. All right.
And it's not just you. It seems to be the trendy word now. So.
Hey, I'll take it. But, especially in Arcata and Eureka, I mean, talking with leadership in both of those places and thinking about different building projects and industry partners, and then thinking about some of the building projects and how we can partner on those. There's lots of different construction projects and things. And we do have a footprint in Eureka. I mean, our Humboldt Bay Aquatic Center is there. That's where our fundraising arm is. It's where our rowing teams practice and various other things. But obviously with some of the wind energy that's coming in and the subsea cable, and we have partners in some of those areas as well. I mean, it makes sense because our students are going to be working and faculty will be doing research in collaboration with some of those entities too.
Oh, so. You snuck it in, huh?
Which is that?
Collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
But I noticed you said it much faster, so it was like it was a smaller word.
All right. Fair enough.
Still sensitive to the word, however.
Okay, fair enough.
KINS, News and Information Times, 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
The following broadcast of Talk Shop was recorded for broadcast at this time. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:34. We're back talking shop this morning with Jen Capps from Humboldt. So as you're looking at year two in this thing called Polytech, are you year two into a five-year plan? Are you year one in a rolling five-year plan or a three-year plan? Where are you? Where's the school in that structure of management?
Good question. I think that fall 2023, so right now, is like really the official launch of Polytech. I mean, we received the Polytech name a year and a half ago, but until we launched new programs, didn't seem real. We have benchmarks in 2026 to launch additional new academic programs, and then 2029 to complete. So to me, it was about designation. I'm going to forget my own terms, but designation and then working and then like thriving, right? So the idea is to have at least four new. It'll be more than that. I know, it's goofy.
No, I'm laughing because I like lists also.
Uh-huh.
And things that I can remember, and then when you forget them, it's like V8 moments. And
yeah.
You kind of kick yourself.
It's like designation, working, thriving, or something like that. So we've got it, and then in 2026, by 2026, we'll add additional academic programs, and then by 2029, we'll add an additional. We said about four new degree programs at minimum in each of those out years. I'm sure we'll probably do more than that.
So is that maximizing the existing infrastructure that's in place, or is this a push then for additional buildings and capacities and research and all these things to support these various programs? Because if you got another 12 or 15 degrees, there's going to be not only the kids, but you're going to have all the support and
sure.
the primary staff, and then where are they going to learn all this stuff?
Yeah, good question. So for 2026, one of the priorities for me is about health academic programs, because there's such a workforce shortage in
instant employment.
Exactly. I can't think of an area within the healthcare workforce where they're like, we're good, we don't need anybody. So there's an opportunity there, especially locally. You know, we have so many gaps, but that's true.
Now, if you do public safety, And then mental health. What state do you want to be governor of?
I mean, all that stuff fits, though. I mean, mental health for sure fits.
It's all needed, and it's it's so universal.
Yeah.
Literally, pick a state, pick a city.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. You now have got a ticket.
Right.
Yeah.
And perhaps you forget or don't know. I'm a psychologist, so it hits home for me, especially on that one. And sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, I just need to dust off my shingle. Like, there's so many people that need care in this community and can't access it because there just are not enough people. But back to your infrastructure question, we have a healthcare hub building that is that we have funding in partnership with College of the Redwoods, that we've had that building for quite a while. It's on Samoa Boulevard, pretty close to campus, and we're actively planning to renovate that space and build out healthcare programming in that space. So
is
we
that
have
the old
it.
Industrial Electric? The big gray cement building?
It looks like
by
that's
the railroad
maybe
tracks?
It is, probably. I don't know if it's the exact same building, but that sounds about right.
Okay.
We've used it for storage and different things. We didn't have
an
identity for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
We didn't have an identity for it. And so with the needs for healthcare, with the partnership with College of the Redwoods, that's the space. And it's huge. So,
yeah.
And I think I may have mentioned before, if we had free reign to do whatever we wanted with Polytech in 2023, I would have started with healthcare because there's just such a workforce need. But we were lean on some engineering and technology programs, and really to meet the definition of a Polytech, we really needed to start there. And we did. I mean, we launched several engineering and technology programs and feel good about that. But looking at additional nursing degrees, looking at public health, looking at additional behavioral health things, looking at athletic training, all sorts of things. But some of those also need to be in partnership with College of the Redwoods, because there's lots of things like respiratory therapy, radiology tech, phlebotomy credentialing. There's all sorts of things that we could immediately address.
And start turning.
Absolutely.
Into the community. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's neat models where if you work in partnership with a community college and students are able to get that associate's degree or even that credential, like the phlebotomy to draw blood, then students get that credential. They can be actively working toward a higher degree, but then be working in the field in the community, earning good money.
So they're really building on the experience.
Absolutely.
Too.
Yeah. And contributing to the community. So that's a big one. So really excited about that. Endless potential.
So with that area, I would imagine that there are other institutions of higher learning that are recognizing the same thing.
Yeah.
So how do you differentiate Humboldt?
That's a really good question. And that's what I ask a lot. So to me, it's, and I'm going to forget which is which, but red ocean, blue ocean. So one is there's so much demand for a program that it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be unique because there's literally so demand, you're never going to meet the demand. And that's like nursing. Yeah, that's like nursing. And then other programs, you have to be unique because you have to be competitive. Yeah.
That's the blue water.
Yeah. I always mix them up. So, but that makes sense now that I think about it with how it goes together. But yeah, and so for those like public health, I ask that question. People really want us to stand up a public health program, and it's the cool thing to do right now because we're coming out of a pandemic, right?
Okay, yeah.
But public health programs are really important, and I actually do.
There were issues before.
Correct.
Also.
I mean, I 110% support a public health degree at Humboldt, but what's our niche? Why us? And so in talking with people locally, I'm not going to use some of the other big words, but in talking with people, thinking about how we integrate our data science program into the mix and think about what they call population health and really thinking about what are the unique people and characteristics of people locally and how can we address their needs.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with Jen Capps from Humboldt. You'd mentioned some of the new programs and some of the new majors that you're looking to target for the next, I guess, 3-year periods.
You got it.
Is there anything that's kind of exotic in that equation?
Well, there's exotic. Yes, I think there's exotic. I mean, we have 15 new programs that launched in 2023, and I say that because that's a lot.
Yeah, that's
it's insanely a lot. It's more than we had even promised by about 4 programs. So we launched 9 bachelor's degree, 1 master's degree, and 10 bachelor's degree, 1 master's degree, and 4 certificates. I lose count. The one that I like to brag on, which I think is a neat one, is the individualized degree program. This I wouldn't say it's air quote polytech, but it is a new degree program. And what it allows, 2 pathways. So for students that may have stopped out, dropped out, or are still pursuing a degree, but they've changed their majors a lot, or perhaps they jumped around at community colleges and they have a lot of credit hours. And they just want the dang degree, okay? Like they have.
That's the get me out of here.
Get me out of here. Okay. You got it. And so they can. There's a pathway for them to get. There's things that they have to do. It isn't just like cash in the credits and you're there. You have to have a senior experience and a certain number of upper division. But it's a very accessible degree that will get you out with a general studies kind of bachelor's degree, and that's. Nice for people who are going to give up.
So if you have, use me. So I had a double major at Humboldt, okay, when I was going through, transferred back to Doan, lost a year. They literally just said, okay, we're going to take your second major, upper division, it's gone.
Yep.
Okay. So back there, I'm 3 classes away. Here, I've got more than enough units.
Yeah.
Okay. So in that kind of a scenario where there's tons of units, but maybe it's in a couple of different areas.
Right.
Is that something that's subject to this? Is that what you're looking to be able to accomplish?
You would probably be a candidate for the IDP program, and probably you'd probably have to take a class or two, but you're probably super close to be getting that degree with this program because it recognizes exactly what you're talking about, and then that's really a tragedy that people were pursuing degrees and ran into barriers, and that's not cool, and we want people to be able to finish. We have so many stories, but even before we advertised it, said a whole lot about it, Rebecca Robertson is our director of that program. I mean, I think there's 25 students that are already majoring in it. Before it was like even a thing. They're like, here's our intent to major. Like as soon as it's official, we're in. But it was stories of people that have moved away who have jobs, who are saying, but I'd like my bachelor's degree or I can't.
I got a space on the wall.
Correct. Just, and my frame is ready. Yeah, or, you know, I can't really move to the next level in my career until I have a bachelor's degree in something. I'd like to finish it.
But, oh, that's interesting.
For
me, it would just be bragging rights.
100%.
But, okay.
Yeah. Know,
even if you're doing it either as a parent or as a grandparent, it still shows.
Yeah.
You know,
100%. Yeah. And, you know, we
have. Is that a common program?
There's many universities that have that program, and I believe we had it many years ago. I don't know that it looked exactly like this, but it was discontinued. I'm not really sure why. It does require faculty and people to
paperwork
get along. No, to no? get along. So oh, here's okay. the thing: because if you dropped out as a music major or as a journalism major, you're not getting a degree in that, right? So we're offering you a flexible path that's going to take less time and not require you to take classes that are specifically in that major necessarily.
So it's
and people don't always like
battle.
That. People don't always like that. The other pathway with IDP is for students that come in. They may not have a ton of units, but they have this really creative idea about what degree they want to seek that doesn't exist.
So it's almost like you write your own major.
Correct.
Too.
So you can, if you're like, I don't know, I want to be a, I don't even, people make up things that are just so fascinating to me.
Museum architect.
Yeah, with like a botanist flair to it. I don't know. But the stuff people come up with is fascinating. And then they work with a couple of advisors, put a degree plan together, and they go. And what's neat about that and is that sometimes a pattern of a degree like that becomes common, and somebody goes, well, I want to do what Johnny's doing.
Oh, so it's a template almost.
And then you can incubate it and see if it really can take off, and then you can demo it, and then eventually it could become a whole major. And so it did that at my previous university with, like, aviation technology or...
Is that the one with the coat?
What? With a coat?
Buffalo coats?
Oh, different school. But
oh, okay.
Yeah. Not the Buffalo coat.
Okay.
But I really like that program because it's changing people's lives. It's giving people the access to something that, frankly, they were so close to earning and then just said, forget it. I give up.
You're kind of there.
Yeah.
Anyway. So it's the tuition the same for those?
Mm-hmm.
So it's...
Yep.
It's a normal...
Sure is.
A normal student, just in an abnormal way.
Yeah, and so there's a few classes, like I say, you have to have, there's certain things that you have to get a degree in the United States.
You mean like English 1?
Things like that. But more so what's relevant here is like a senior experience, like a senior seminar class. And what we do is pull those students together and create a senior seminar for them of students that all have the same kind of situation and then help to support them getting a meaningful class
to
meet their goal.
That would be fun to be putting stir in a senior class.
Okay, well,
you're looking
they
at
listen.
Me like, okay, except maybe for you.
There'd probably be a few of you in that class, so I'm just saying.
Good Lord, we'd blow up the whole campus mentality.
That would be fun. Let's do it.
Thanks for coming by.
Absolutely.
See everybody on Monday. This presentation of Talk Shop was recorded at a previous time for playback today.